Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in, Marty. We have made it to the end of another arduous work week.
Yeah, tomorrow we are not going to be on, so we are going to...
Maintenance day for the crew.
Maintenance day for the crew. It's important that we take care of our
colleagues?
Yeah, but the control room crew, that's what I was looking for. Colleagues in the control room that put the show on MSG and WGR all the time. So yeah, maintenance day for everybody, so that's good. So we're off. So we got a jam-packed show. We're gonna
have
Shayna Goldman in just a few minutes here. Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour. So game four is tonight. It's a must win, Duffer. Must win for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Don't roll your eyes. It is a must win.
Sorry, I looked the wrong way.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes, and please.
I'm sure we'll talk about the game, but I've highlighted three Captain Obvious points for the Edmonton Oilers for their game four.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is special teams. One of them is McDavid and Draisaitl as a whole, their production.
And I can't wait for the third.
One of them is goaltending. Which Captain Obvious point is the most important for the Oilers tonight?
Well, sure. Let's go with goaltending because you're one, okay. And there was a question lingering for a couple of days as to whether you and or Knobloch would go with Skinner or Pickard. I was going to say and or Pickard because it could be both.
It could be again. And.
What do you think's going to happen? Do you think Skinner, and there will be two of them by the looks of it for Edmonton tonight, but do you think the one in the crease will go the distance?
So expected to start is Stuart Skinner. So that's what we're getting from Florida, from on location. The boots on the ground are looking at it all, and they're like, "Hey, Stuart Skinner is expected to start tonight." Mm-hmm. So that to me is what we've talked about. I actually didn't really. How could I say that? I didn't think it was close. I think that we laid it out yesterday. If you're thinking of going to Pickard, you're probably putting him in earlier in the game three, or you're starting the second period with the third period with him. Yeah, there was a power play, but I felt like this was, okay, we're going with Stuart Skinner. But here's the problem for me, is even though we want to put the blame on Stuart Skinner, and I didn't think he had a good game three. No, people in general want to put, I didn't think he had a good game three. The Oilers have been bad in front of them now for a couple of games. They've given up way too many high danger chances. They've given up too many good looks. Like, you're going to have to be better. And there's some major changes in the lineup. Jeff Skinner is coming in for Arvidsson. Troy Stetcher is coming in for John Klingberg. There's a change of the lines for the Oilers. They're putting it all out there. Like, we are going to change the way we're going to look in game four.
It's what they do, and the majority of the time they win. The last two postseasons, Edmonton 18-2 in games four and beyond. So we'll touch more on that coming up with Shayna and with Darren as we have a jam-packed Sabres Live today. Will you allow me a minute or two to speak about the latest and once again NHL award winner, in my favorite player over the last 19 seasons, Anze Kopitar.
Anze Kopitar wins the Lady Bing. What a video, surprised by his kids with the trophy and everything. It's supposed to go to the player that showcased, exemplify sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct. Man, that's a tough one to say. But anyway, so
you can practice this like, tomorrow.
Congratulations on being the nicest player in the NHL, nicest dad too. So yeah, that's basically what it is, the Lady Bing. Well, Anze Kopitar is a gentleman of the game of hockey, has been for many years. So I think it fits when you look at the way that the voting went. You know, he got 50 first place votes. He won by almost 80 points when you look at Braden Point finishing second. But there was a lot of people that got votes for first place. And it wasn't a runaway, but I think Anze Kopitar is the most gentlemanly player in the National Hockey League.
Quick trivia. How many penalty minutes?
This year? Six.
Four.
I was going to say four, but I'm like, he had to have taken the next one. So, okay, four is the number. And look, it's not just about penalty minutes, but it's about how he plays the game. Mm-hmm. How he plays the game. He plays the game fair. He plays the game hard. You see him talk to the referees all the time. You see him talk to the media, the way that he conducts himself, handles himself. I think this is good. Now, it's funny. I always like to think that goalies are very gentlemanly and sportsmanlike. They talk to the referees all the time. Marc-Andre Fleury finished seventh in voting, and Logan Thompson, the only two goalies. These guys couldn't be more opposites if you tried. Fleury and Logan Thompson are the only two goalies that figured in on the voting, and they are at the opposite end of the spectrum in the way that they kind of conduct themselves.
Which is actually surprising that Bobrovsky did. Can you double check? Bob didn't get any votes? Because if you're going to go down this path, we talked about this before. Spencer Knight had a really great interview about it earlier this year, too, before going to Chicago. Like, Bob's mannerisms and his conduct is so kind to officials. And, I mean, when have you ever seen Bob lose his crap? Like, he's remarkably consistent, and he's like the goalie version of Kopitar. He's everything.
Bob dives a little too much for me, though. He plays the comedy a little too much.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I think that's part of the game, and also
I get that. I mean, it's a good point. I guess I just don't see. I mean, you see it obviously a little differently,
but also Florida has Barkov, Forsling, Reinhardt.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of guys that I figure in on the voting, so maybe you forget about Bobrovsky in that way.
Well, allow me to just remind you, because he is my favorite. That's a three-time Lady Bing winner, two Selkies, one Messier, two Stanley Cups, twice a playoff scoring leader, and this is where you shine. Where, after 19 years in the NHL, where does Anze Kopitar rank in NHL scoring, all time?
All time?
All time.
31st.
40th. You're always within plus or minus 10. It's amazing. Where does he rank in assists?
Okay, so if he's 40th in points, I would think he's got to be top 30 in assists.
28th. You again, amazing.
Because he's got more assists than goal. I figured like his points are, he's more of a playmaker.
He is 31st in games played, and in what, next year, and who knows, it may well be his final year, he starts the year 29 points away from becoming the all-time scoring leader in LA Kings history. He's already there in playmaking. He's top three in goals, but he's going to track down Marcel Dion this season. So he will eventually retire as the all-time king, in my opinion. And that's saying something when you had the Triple Crown line, Dion, Simmer, Taylor.
Yeah.
And then you had Luc Robitaille, one of the game's great goal scorers. And they unfortunately were never able to, and yes, Gretzky. but no one was able to get over the hump as the leader of the group, like Kopitar, as a two-time champion. It's remarkable. I think sometimes you have to remind yourself in the moment the history that you're witnessing. And he is an easily, because of his quiet nature, overlooked superstar. And maybe superstar is the wrong word. Longevity, I think, plays a role in how you view people. It's an incredible, you know, measure of the player. But he's typically a 60 to 75 point guy. So maybe superstar is the wrong word. But man, every team would love to have had 19 years of Anze Kopitar.
Oh, absolutely. A spontaneous trivia.
I'm not very good at this. Don't we know? Stay in our lanes here. Come on.
One Buffalo Sabre has won the Lady Byng Trophy. Only one Sabres has ever won the Lady Byng Trophy.
Gilbert
Perreault. See, that's easy. 72-73.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you make it Sabre related and I get it wrong, you undermine all my credibility for our audience. Try not to keep it Sabre-ish because
you have a 95% success rate. People would never be even close to that when it comes to. And look, I know like 4 penalty minutes is low, right? So Jacob Slavin last year won his second Lady Byng. Mm-hmm. He had 8 penalty minutes, but his first Lady Byng in 2021, he had only 2 penalty minutes. Mm-hmm. And you have to go back, Duffer, this is incredible. You have to go back to 1949 when Bill Quackenbush of the Detroit Red Wings won the Lady Byngs with 0 penalty minutes in the year. Like, it's very rare to have 0 penalty minutes in a season.
Okay, well, you're going to make me look this up, even though I believe the answer to be 2. And I believe he did win the award that year. And, he might not have won. Hang on.
What is that?
The Lady Byng. I'm looking at penalty minutes. There it was. Yes, he did win the Byng that year. Good. So former Sabre Ryan O'Reilly,
that's what I thought you were going to go to.
Yeah. He had 2 penalty minutes in the 13-14 season.
Jacob Slavin, Ryan O'Reilly, 2 penalty minutes each, but Marty Saleh won it in back-to-back. Pavel Datsyuk was Mr. Lady Byng 4 in a row. Yep. From 2006 to 2009. So, yeah, that's... Brian Campbell did win it, but he was with the Florida Panthers when he won it.
So not a Sabre. Thank you.
Not a Sabre.
Well, speaking of the Sabres, we do have pet adoption this weekend at KeyBank Center. It is Saturday, June 14th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is a great opportunity for you to help out in bringing in a forever pet and helping out so many of the incredible organizations in our city that rescue these pets. And so the adoption happens between 10 and 2, and we're encouraging attendees to also bring a new or unopened bag of dog or cat food to the event, and the food that gets collected will be donated to the participating rescue organizations. So all you got to do is go to sabres.com/pet adoption to find out more, and we're looking forward to a tremendously successful event this Saturday at KeyBank Center between 10 and 2. It's game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is with us. Hi, Shayna. How are you?
Great. I love this pet adoption. I'm so excited. I hope everyone comes home with a bunch of new friends.
We have had
furry friends. Let's do it.
We've had so much success with this in our community. But Marty, think of just the number of game nights where we've been, you know, blessed with the opportunity to meet pets on set and things like that.
We had
this is a great evolution of sports and engagement in community to me. Like, I feel like so many teams, including obviously the Sabres here, have really gotten it right with how they connect with people.
That's how you should do it, right? Like, they're so important, pets. And if they're coming on set and they can like vibe out in an arena, like that is a true keeper. That it's like, if they can handle the chaos of that, they can do anything.
Shayna, I asked the basically Captain Obvious question to Duffer at the start of the show when it comes to game 4 tonight. And I said, it's a must win game for the Edmonton Oilers. And I had to do a TSN hit this morning, and they're like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, there's only 3 things to talk about: special teams, McDavid, Draisaitl, and goaltending. And he's like, yeah, but that's kind of obvious. I'm like, yes, it is about Captain Obvious. So what is the key? Duffer said goaltending, and I'm going to include playing good defensively, because even Connor McDavid this year, every time the media said, "Oh, you guys played well defensively," he gets angry. We're a good defensive team. Like, how about you got to prove it to help your goaltending? But a special team and the five-on-five aspect of McDavid, Draisaitl, more of an obvious key to their success tonight?
Okay, I'm going to go two ways.
Okay.
Okay, I agree with you. When you said defense, I was waiting for that because I'm like, yes, the goaltending is important, but I think it's bigger that the Oilers play that commitment to team defense that we've seen them play earlier this postseason, because if you're not exposing Stuart Skinner, he can play his best. And right now he doesn't look like he's near his best or the levels he was the last two rounds. And I think part of it is, you know, the chaos around the middle, right? Like the Panthers grind teams around the boards. And there was a shift in game two. It was in the second period around like the 5 minute mark. And you just saw them take over and like win possession. And then they drove right to the middle. And the Oilers were all over the place. They were so lucky they didn't allow a goal in that moment because it was so disorganized and so chaotic. So that's a big part of it. But let's go with McDavid. And it's not just McDavid and Draisaitl, but Draisaitl should be talked about, right? He had zero shot attempts in game three after 15 between one and two.
Yeah.
That's huge. It's the Barkov McDavid matchup for me that's going to be really important here, because in games one and two, the Oilers won those minutes, right? They outscored Florida 1-0 with McDavid and Barkov on the ice at 5-on-5. You extend it to even strength play because there was so much 4-on-4 play. It's 3-0, that goal differential. That's a huge, huge advantage to have. Yep. The series shifts back to Florida. They don't change the matchup in round two. When the Matthews-Barkov matchup was leading to less offense from the top of the lineup, they gave Marchand that matchup on home ice to free up Reinhart and Barkov a little bit. For games three and four, right? They didn't do it this time. They're like, nope, it's McDavid against Barkov.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you see that the Panthers scored, right? Reinhart scored and Barkov played a part of it. So now that all situation matchup started tilting towards the Panthers. And now you have three scoring lines in Florida and you have no scoring lines in Edmonton because now McDavid's not scoring either. That's your biggest problem.
I don't expect this drought is going to last. Do you?
No, absolutely not.
I but think like, we're that's the see thing. Another McJesus moment in the first period tonight.
Right, but it may be a 6-5 game, and that's you know, kind of how I envision all of this. We're
bring it on. Give us a 6-5 game. But like, yeah. I think you even look at last year, and it's like McDavid was crushing Barkov in its minutes below the surface. But on the score sheet at the end of the series, the Panthers outscored Edmonton in the end. And at the end of the day, that's what matters, right? Like expected goals are great and scoring chances are great, but you need the actual goals, and the Panthers had it. So it's like, if McDavid's gaining circles around Barkov, that's one thing, but it has to turn into something, especially if no one else is going to step up.
Marty, stay on the cup path if you like, before we venture into the trade market,
yes,
which featured Anaheim and the Rangers.
One more cup question, Shayna. I think everybody could agree that the Oilers have been the undisciplined team so far in the first three games, despite the fact that the power plays are 17-16. Like, Florida has had 17 power plays, 11 the last game, and the Oilers have had 16 power plays. Why, and I think I know the answer, but why are we looking at the Oilers being the undisciplined team and not Florida still, you know, being a team that can take a lot of penalties?
Well, the Panthers play a way that they walk the line, right?
Yes.
And at this point, there is no line. If you're going to do borderline plays and get away with it, why would you ever stop, right? People could say, oh, wow, they're so dirty. If I'm in the Panthers' position and I'm not getting penalized for it and I'm annoying opponents, I'm going to do it as much as I can until someone tells me not to. So they know that, right? And they get into their opponents' heads. That's what makes them so dangerous, right? They have this dynamic elite skill. This is not just a team that the takeaway might be, oh, look, you have four lines of grinders. No, that's not it at all. Matthew Tkachuk, Alexander Barkov, Sam Reinhart, those are all elite talents. You have dynamic skill mixed with this snarl and bite and physicality, right? That you're not going through this lineup unpunished. They got in the Oilers' head. They did exactly what they wanted to do, the Panthers. They knew it. And now they're living rent-free in the Oilers' heads. And you look at it, two offensive zone penalties in the first period from Edmonton. They came into that game unglued. I know everyone's going to say, well, in the third period. No. Third period was just the cherry on top. Through 40, they were completely unhinged and undisciplined when you can't afford to do it. The Panthers can. That's not your strengths, right? You can play a physical game, and the Oilers are a more physical team. But something they said going into this series, Connor McDavid said, this time we're not as emotional. We're on business. We know what we have to do. We've been here before. Okay, act like it. Because now you're not, right? You're getting emotional, and now you're getting away from playing hockey, which is what you need to do. You need to skate circles around them. It's not working out for you.
in their defense, it is hard to skate circles around the Panthers, regardless of what style is being played. But yes, your point is incredibly well made, leading us into game four tonight. Now, talked about for a couple of days. It's done now. Coast-to-coast trade. Anaheim and the Rangers. Chris Kreider leaves New York with a fourth to Anaheim for prospect Carey Terrence. He's the Erie Otters captain. He's had gold medal success for Canada at the World Juniors at the U20 and U18 levels. And a third round pick goes to New York as well. Who wins the trade, Shayna?
If I had to give a slight edge, I'm going to give it to the Ducks. I think there's a couple things here. One, it's tough for the Rangers because this is a franchise player, a franchise cornerstone, right? At his best, he's an elite net front presence. He's great off the rush. He has a lot of speed. He has a lot of strength, right? And if all of those are clicking, he's more than just this net front guy. That's what makes him so special. He wasn't that this year in New York. That's the fact, right? He had 22 goals, but he only had 30 points. It's not just his teammates didn't finish his chances. You could see differences in his game. He didn't drive to the net as well. He didn't play as well. Is that because of an injury situation that was lingering? I would think, yes, that has a lot to do with it. So it's tough to know whether or not he's going to rebound from it. And it's even tougher when you're expecting your entire roster, basically, to rebound from a disastrous season, right? So how can you navigate that? And then when you consider the role he plays, the net front role, those players don't typically age well. And while you know Kreider is more than that, he wasn't this year. So I think all of that kind of weighs down his trade value for the Rangers. So had they waited, could it have been worse or better? Like, I don't know. They created a bad situation. It got to this point where their hands were tied. So the one win is they cleared cap space, which is going to help them get better because you can't trade everybody, but you also can't add in the current standing they were in. The Ducks, this is a good thing for them, right? They have the cap space. They have the leverage. In 2 years, his cap's off the books. If he can rebound and be good at even strength, help the power play, that's a win for them. But it's just all a tough situation. So it's hard to say a true winner and loser. I give a very slight edge to the Ducks.
I give the edge to the Ducks. I kind of was hoping Kreider would maybe have been linked to the Sabres a little bit. I would have liked to have seen that net front presence on the power play, as you mentioned, the speed. I think he was injured last year, but can still score 25, 30 goals. That's what you want to get, right? So is there anybody like him maybe available now? And I'm only looking for Sabres just... And yesterday I said I don't think they have to worry about their forwards. They have to worry more about the backhand. But if you add a top six forward, it could help. It wouldn't hurt. Is there anybody like that that you can see may be available?
I wouldn't say a true stylistic match is out there right now, but I think in that same realm of caliber player, I would be looking at someone like Mason Marchment, who's on a pretty, you know, team-friendly deal. If I'm Dallas and you're hearing the rumors of Jason Robertson and that swirling, I want to put that situation to bed 5 minutes ago and go, no, we are not trading our 40-goal scorer and have another solution. So I think that there's a way for teams to play that to their advantage so Dallas can open up cap space by moving someone out without spending a ton of money, right? Because if you look at it in a year, you go, do you want to assign 29-year-old UFA Marchment if you're the Stars, or do you want to, you know, keep Jason Robertson, who will be an RFA? Obviously, there's different costs associated with it, but there's different rewards too. So that would be the kind of player I'm saying, like, okay, here's a top six guy if you need. And then if you have to, if you're a really deep team and he slots to your middle six, right? He's like that fringe second, third line player. You're doing something right. But I think he's a very good player. And we saw just how good he was in Florida a couple of years ago. He was that elite third liner. Now he's a very good second line. That second line was the most productive Dallas had through most of the season. That would kind of be that comparable I'd be looking at, because anyone else, I think if you're going for the Oilers of the world, you're going up a tier in cap and in value, and rightfully so. But if you're trying to stick to that like second line caliber guy, I would say it's him.
Clearly not just about Robertson and Marchment, though, in Dallas. When you look at their situation, their limited cap space, their desire presumably to retain some of the players that helped them to yet another Western Conference final. Like, what do you think is the answer here for Dallas to make it all work?
I think that they could let Granlund walk if it's going to be too expensive.
Oh, I'm already assuming him and others are out the door. Who else?
Yeah.
I mean, because
CC, Dumba, see you later, bye. I would try to get... Yeah. Sorry, what?
No, I just think you got to move more. That's the thing.
No, I'm agreeing with you fully. Yeah. I would try to get rid of the Lyubushkin contract. I don't think you should have that on the books. I think the key for me is moving out Marchment to keep Robertson. I'm also saying goodbye to Jamie Benn. I know he's the captain there, but I look at it and I think the Jamie Benaissance is over. I think he had his two good years, and I think his drop off in the playoffs was so steep this year. They played him against matchup minutes that he had no business being in. Yes, he didn't convert on his chances. That's not just on him, and you know the entire team didn't in his minutes. But I think that you could see the finishing talent is starting to fade. The other part of it is I don't know if anyone ever is going to be able to like step up in a captaincy or a leadership role as long as he's still there because he's that mainstay. And I think it's time for somebody else to do it because we're going to talk about DeBoer being part of the problem in their Western Conference final endings, and he is, but I also think Ben might be too. So if you want to open the door to a new era of Stars hockey, I think you need to close the door on the last one.
Okay. Did you just use the Jamie Benaissance in a sentence?
I did.
And it kind of just rolled right off and like that didn't even flinch. Would Jamie Ben be maybe a fit in Buffalo? Like bring him in and play a third line, maybe even a fourth line role, get to be a cheaper option. Like I think people in Buffalo, when they look at adding some grit and maybe a little bit older player, like Jamie Benn could be a good fit for that.
I agree, because I think the big thing is if he's to resign in Dallas, I think it's for more money than anywhere else because of that long-term connection to him. And I think it's kind of like you look at other guys like the Coglianos of the world, right? Like they leave their longtime teams and now you become this role bottom six player. There's no question about what you are, right? You're signing as something else is instead of you're fading from the role you held for so long. So I think you could look at it totally differently and pay differently. I think Evolving Hockey has a two-year deal around $4 million if Ben were to extend in Dallas. And I think that number drops if he's to go elsewhere. And I think that you could get him in that $2 to $3 million range and let him be a third-line player. Like let's say 2 years, $3 million. Like that's pretty reasonable for someone you're signing to be a third line guy. And if you have to drop him to the fourth, so be it, especially knowing he might be able to jump up in a power play and be that net front presence and kind of bring leadership. But it's a totally different vibe doing that somewhere else versus staying where he's been.
Yeah. The real name here that not enough people are talking about is Matt Duchene. I mean, they can't afford to keep their leading point getter. Can they? And, like, who's lining up for Matt Duchene right now? He just, again, posted big regular season numbers. And I just wonder, like, what you think is going to happen with Matt Duchene.
It's tough because he did play center again in Dallas, right? Like, that was part of the reason his value dropped so much. I think what helps teams is he has that buyout money, too. So you expect the contract to still be pretty reasonable and a short-term deal. But I could see why it like this is your last chance to get a little length, a little bit more. You could try to squeeze that. But I think the fact that he faded the last two postseasons, specifically against the Oilers, is one very big strike against him. I think he sticks around in Dallas. I think that if you can move enough pieces, if he wants to stay, unlike Ben, I think he could stay for more of a team-friendly deal, right? Like, could he get more elsewhere because the center market's terrible? Absolutely. But he knows he works in Dallas after striking out elsewhere that I wonder if that kind of works in his favor too.
What is the worst summer market free agent wise? The center market, the right shot defense?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Defenseman market or the goalie market?
Oof. It's really hard to top the center market. It truly, truly is. But I'm going to have to go with the goalie market. The goalie market is bad. And it's tough, too, because you look at the last few years, how many good goalies have been available. And we've been talking about potential trade options for different goalies for so long. And it's like you missed the boat if you didn't make your move. If you didn't go for the Blackwoods, well, you could, or the Markstroms, because this year it is slim pickings.
Dreger never misses the boat.
Jake Allen slim pickings.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Darren Dreger never misses the boat because it only takes 40 seconds to launch. We learned that recently. Darren will be coming up. Shayna, thank you this week, and we'll see you next week when the finals will be done.
In theory, maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
As promised, here on our final installment of Sabres Live this week, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN. Hi, Dregs.
How are you doing? Another early week, okay? Just shortened week for
Amazing.
You guys.
It's, I don't know.
I like it.
I don't know how we're doing it, but we're doing it.
It's like, it's kind of like my world.
Break. Gotta give the crew a little bit of a break on some of the Fridays. They work the Bills and the Sabres, and it's a lot. So we gotta give them a break.
Well, I understand that. And I'm not here to point fingers or judge, because I was a bit annoyed, disappointed that the panel at TSN wasn't traveling for the Stanley Cup final initially. But then all of a sudden you get used to having the 2 days off in between games, and it's kind of nice. So less complaining now, although I am getting on a plane tomorrow going to Edmonton for Game 5 and the rest of the series. So it's been a good run to this point.
It's been a good run. Hey, let's start Sabres just because our boy Kevin Weeks, we all love Weeksy, and I feel like Weeksy gets sometimes some insider information.
He does. He does,
You know, he just put another one about Bo Byram yesterday. So I'm like, okay, like we've talked about him now for 3 consecutive weeks, but it's still in the news, and Weeksy keeps putting it out there. So is this going to be figured out before the draft or before July 1? If we get to July 1, do we figure like, okay, they'll come up to a contract and he'll be a Sabres?
I think all the options are still very much open, right? And, you know, the more that this drags on, the more likely it seems that Bo Byram is going to be traded. But there's no pressure point here from the Sabres perspective. And, you know, Kevin Adams really loves this player and the depth that he provides on the back end for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, you look at it, we've talked about it on the show before, and you guys see him play on a nightly basis. Byram looks into the future, and he sees power, and he sees Dahlin, and he wonders, all right, well, what's my path to be a number one or a top pairing defenseman, right? And he doesn't see that path, or at least that's my understanding. So, you know, the pressure point comes from the player, where the player says, look, you know, yeah, right now you have my rights. But my plan, my goal is, if I'm staying in Buffalo, it's going to be a short term. And the perfect scenario would be a 2-year deal, which walks them right into free agency. Well, that's far from perfect if you're Adams and the Buffalo Sabres. So the discussions are ongoing, and you can absolutely believe and know Adams had multiple trade conversations with other managers during the combine in Buffalo. There is a terrific level of interest, as there should be. So that's why I hesitate to say, yeah, the pressure points could be the draft and then July 1st, obviously. But again, the value of the player to the Buffalo Sabres matters, and they can see a future with Bo Byram. So if there's a deal that's done at the draft or before July 1st, it's a deal that Adams and the Sabres just can't push away from.
Anything else Saber related?
No. I mean, I wouldn't call it quiet because, you know, it's really not a quiet time of year for any of the clubs around the NHL. And you know, as we've discussed in the past, I mean, Kevin is an active GM, right? He's one of those guys who likes to be in conversations. And doesn't mean that there's always a trade fit or there's an opportunity. But, you know, he knows what his mandate is. His mandate is to figure out a way to make the roster better, to get this team into playoff contention and into the playoffs next year. He knows that. He knows he has a shelf life as an NHL general manager. Everyone does. So he's not peering over his shoulder, worrying about that. He looks at his roster. He looks at what he probably sees as deficiencies in concert with Lindy Ruff, the head coach, and they're trying to improve. That's what they're trying to do. So I would expect that he's going to be active. And part of being active is making sure that you're staying on top of all the speculation and probably revisiting conversations, like I said, that you had at the recent combine.
I was going to say, if that's what's happening with the Sabres, we still have to keep our eyes on JJ Paterka as well, and Jack Quinn and Ryan McLeod. Yeah. And there's other contracts there. Duffer brought up the limited somewhat cap space, right? If you re-sign all these players, you're there. Boom. You've used. So is there an appetite to say, okay, we're moving on from one of those forwards to free up maybe a little bit more space?
Yeah, maybe, but you're talking about younger players too. You know, I look at McLeod as an example. I'm not sure that he loved the way that he was utilized last year in Buffalo. But what does that mean? And how does that translate in conversations or discussions with Adams and the Sabres in general? The Paterka rumors, guys, look, they're always out there, right? And for reasons why, we can understand that. You know, there again is pressure and leverage that goes along with scenarios like his when your name is out there. But every time I check with the Buffalo Sabres, he's a player that we value. We see him as being a chip that can help us get better as he continues to develop and progress, right? Now, there's no such thing as a true untouchable. You can create, you know, that sort of debate around individual players, and Buffalo has a few of those guys. But if someone is making a call and they're offering you something that you just didn't think was available, that obviously makes you better, and one of those young guys has to be included, well, then that's something you consider. But I again, beyond wide and, you know, varying discussions, I don't think those guys have actually been pinpointed in trade talks at this stage.
And nothing at this point on a Tuck extension?
No, not yet. But, you know, again, a valuable part, right? Pretty key piece from a veteran perspective and all of that. So we'll see. I think that there's an appetite, obviously, from Buffalo's standpoint to get something done. But I don't, at least, in fairness, I didn't check today on that, so I'm hedging here a little bit, but I don't think it's that close.
Okay, let's move on to the rest of the league. Marco Rossi is a name that has been talked about in Minnesota. He's a really good young player, but there has been some trade rumors around him, especially the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah,
maybe looking into Marco Rossi. So, What would be the price to pay for a player like Rossi if it was the Canucks, but also if somehow like the Sabres and other teams would be interested in a player like Rossi?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it feel like it's the old standard package? Like you've got to get a young player coming back the other way and probably a roster player. And now I say that, and I'm thinking of Billy Guerin's situation in Minnesota. And yes, there's been money freed up. No doubt about that. And then in addition to the salary cap going up, he's going to be able to spend and add some pieces. So, you know, maybe it isn't just the standard package. Maybe Guerin is willing to take on something that makes his club a little bit better in the now. But I would think, again, given the pedigree of this player, the expectation of what he's going to continue to develop into, you know, you're talking about a really good draft pick and probably at least a prospect going back the other way.
Darren, to your knowledge, has any team, had serious discussions on Pete DeBoer?
Not as of the earlier this week. Not as of earlier this week. There was a rumor, and it was just flat out a rumor connecting him to Buffalo, believe it or not. I don't know if that one crossed your desk or not. But both guys said no. And in fairness, you know, Pete's got another year left with the Dallas Stars and $4+ million. So I just throw that out there because that's the contract. It's not like he's looking, you know, to cash in. But then you look around at some of the coaches who have. You know, Mike Sullivan gets that mega deal, obviously, from the New York Rangers and, you know, some of the other guys that got decent contracts. So I'm sure that DeBoer in the right circumstance would be willing to consider. But as of earlier this week, there had been no communication with another club. And I, frankly, I think that because of how hard he invests in being an NHL head coach, it wouldn't be the worst thing for him to just take a break, right? And recharge as much as he can. And maybe wait, you know, around Christmas, something happens. A good team isn't having a good year. And the owner's like, all right, we got to do something here. And, oh, geez, well, there's Peter DeBoer. He might help things along. So that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either for DeBoer.
Not only that, but Pete DeBoer started as an assistant coach in the OHL with the Detroit Junior Red Wings in 1994.
Yeah.
He has not missed a year of coaching since then. He has been coaching every single year the last 31 seasons. Like that is, sometimes you need a break.
Well,
Jarmo Kekäläinen was on our show last week and he said, hey, the break for him was
tremendous.
Good. It gave him a chance to see different things.
Well, and think of Paul Maurice. And Paul Maurice and Peter DeBoer are best friends, right? And Paul, you know, he's not so much talking about the break that he had, you know, when he left Winnipeg. But he definitely needed that. He needed that break to recharge and just take time and watch hockey. Number one, as a fan, and less so as a coach who's trying to analyze and break through structure and develop defensive strategies and all of that. And Paul will tell you that when Florida came calling, he felt reinvigorated and he felt like he was ready for a new challenge and went into that opportunity. And obviously he's done very well as head coach of the Florida Panthers. So I'm guessing that Mo has advised his good friend Pete on taking the time needed to just let things settle.
What's going on in Pittsburgh quickly of new ownership maybe coming in, like reports of Mario Lemieux last night.
Yeah.
Start to swirl that he and a group could be wanting to reinvest in and buy in some percentage
sounds
back from
like
the Fenway group. Like that's that's a big news in Pittsburgh.
No question, because Mario could be involved coming back in, right? I mean, that's enormous news. You know, not really news that Fenway was looking at selling off a chunk. That has been kind of percolating for a while, I would say. But I'm more intrigued at who is joining Mario at that ownership table. What is his group comprised of? You know, Mario has lots of money and tons of resources. But when you look around the National Hockey League now, all you see is billionaires with a B, multi-billionaires. And I don't think Mario has that, with all due respect, but obviously he has deep connections. So that's the next step of this. The reporting is sound. Mario most definitely wants to get more involved. And guys, maybe he's looking around and he's recognizing that. I read somewhere, was it yesterday, that season tickets in Pittsburgh have dropped considerably, you know, in the last year or so, right? So there is a business element to this and something that might be encouraging Mario to dive back into the ownership pool. So we'll have to wait and see to see who's got the deep pockets shouldering
Jagr
up with
Jagr was in
Mario.
Town yesterday, I guess, in Pittsburgh. Could a Jagr-Mario combination come back to save the Pittsburgh?
Throw Michael Jordan into the mix. I mean, they're buddies. They golf occasionally. I mean, let's just put a superstar group of former athletes together to buy in. How good would that be?
Really quick.
I mean, Jagr's got some money.
Really quick on Atlanta. Sounds like, you know, they're moving forward. I just, the reports that are out there have this new arena, like not in the downtown. So I immediately get a little concerned. Are you concerned? What are you thinking happens with Atlanta?
Yeah. Not front burner. And it's a term that we always get from the commissioner's office, not necessarily Gary directly, but generally when you talk to either Bill or Gary Bettman about the idea of expansion or what does that look like? And Atlanta comes up and Houston comes up and believe it or not, a second team in Toronto comes up.
It should. It's always
it should. 100%. Well, you know why it comes up? Because there are still a number of current NHL owners who believe it's a no-brainer moneymaker, a second team in Toronto. So, you know, Bettman just wants us to pump the brakes on that, but he will acknowledge that the group in Atlanta is persistent. and are continually keeping them updated on what they're doing. So I think that's why it hits the news reels more often than not.
Travel safe. Enjoy the Stanley Cup. We'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoy you Edmonton. Guys.
Yeah. I will. It's old lovely home. In Edmonton this
old
time
home
here.
For dregs. We're back after
you guys.
This.
Have a great weekend.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Winding down here on Sabres Live, reminder, tomorrow in Rochester, Amherst are hosting Celebration of Life for Amherst Hall of Famer Scott Metcalf, who passed too soon, very recently, and we'll have a 3-hour event at Blue Cross Arena open to the public tomorrow afternoon. So for someone who did so much for the hockey community in Rochester and obviously just over his time as a player and just public person, I would expect a pretty significant turnout at Blue Cross Arena tomorrow.
40 years, really, when you consider Scotty Metcalf, his time with the Amherst, and after being a Rochester Americans and his time with the alumni and in the community at events. And so that 40 years needs to be obviously celebrated, but much more than that with the family and everybody. So, it's going to be emotional, but it's going to be one where I encourage fans to go and to just tell a story to somebody next to you or whatnot, because there's plenty of better stories.
It's a great time to continue listening, and I'm sure people will be reminded of incredible matter stories tomorrow. Last for you here as we get set for game 4 tonight, and anything else that we maybe didn't touch on here on Sabres Live.
Okay, so
today,
when we're back on the air on Monday, will we have a Stanley Cup champion? Because if Florida wins tonight and they win Saturday, boom, we're Monday morning. We're like, hey, season's over. We have a Stanley Cup champion. And now we're looking at the draft. What do you think?
I kind of assumed there were no games until Tuesday, just based on how the schedule goes.
No, there's a game Saturday. Saturday night hockey. We're getting it this weekend.
Do you have a hot take for the U.S. Open?
Pain.
We'll keep an eye on the leaderboard, and we'll see you Monday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.